Hey, this is Dave. I'm here with Max. We're going to catch up. Two guys just catching up. What's that? What if that's the name of the podcast?
Two guys catching up. Two guys catching nut.
Oh, God. All right, Max. I haven't seen Max in a long time. Last, I heard you were working at an internet marketing firm, and then you branched off.
Branched off to myself right now, not working right now.
Even before that, though, you were working at a larger corporation.
Oh, yeah. I worked the post-college. Wow, I'm so blessed to get this job.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. And then at what point?
Like the Instagram job. I got the Instagram
job. Like you're posting pictures of your job.
Pound sign digital marketing agency.
And then
pound sign social media marketing.
At what point
pound sign
were you
there's
like,
donuts.
At what point were you like, all right, I got to get out of here.
A month in? Yeah, I was there for a year.
So at a month in, you knew, and you stayed for 11 more months?
Dude, I'll put my nuts on the line. Any dude, I'll speak for dudes because I've connected with dudes over the internet that had these ideals. I can't speak for women. Maybe you guys feel the same or not. Dudes know within the first 2 weeks if this is going to be shit. And they stay because it's scary. It's scary, the risk of like, your parents, you left the job, the certain job. So, but you know, man, in your freaking heart, could you do any of those jobs, like a fucking office?
I didn't do this, but looking back now, I know. But since I was 16, I would bounce around job to job to job.
Yeah, so you were always keeping it spicy.
Well, just because I wanted to see, there's no more apprenticeships anymore, right? Like, and that hasn't been around.
You could
since,
still
like,
find
maybe.
It though. It's just undercover.
Sure, it's called internships. But
well, no, I'm talking apprentice. Like you go, but nowadays it's like you work for free for someone who has a skill, and then after a certain amount of time, you could.
That's exactly like unions work like that. If you're a carpenter, you can work as an apprentice for a while and then work your way up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was searching for. Like, do I like this field of work? And do I want to keep doing it?
Yeah.
The only problem is like our culture isn't like that anymore. Like you go to college, like I went to Quinnipiac, right?
Yeah.
And then I went there for occupational therapy
because
I thought that that's what I wanted to do. But I'm paying 40 grand a year to do that. And then by junior year, I'm already like, what, let's just say, because I got financial aid, I'm 60 grand in. All right. And I'm
still,
like, oh,
right?
Oh, more than that. And I'm like, oh, that's what, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe I want to become a biology teacher. Right. So I practiced that. But to practice that, you had to pay more money to, you know, go to more school. So I did my junior year, my senior year. Now I'm at my graduate year. All right. I'm $115,000 in debt already.
You're going to go to more school?
Right.
Don't
so,
go to any more school, dude. That's the best advice that God would give you, right?
Yeah.
Now.
I think we'll get to that. I think we're going to talk about that just because once I did the teaching, I realized this wasn't for me. And then I tried out a few more things.
Wait, you taught a class, subbed or something?
I subbed for 3 months.
What was that like, dude? Because I almost thought like I would be good at that for now.
You know what it was to me? I wanted
dude.
To talk about
Don't
you, but we'll talk
yourself.
About me for a little bit.
No,
like,
I'm very interested because I wanted to almost do that like while I'm home. Just
really?
Sub or something.
Okay, if you're just subbing to make cash and to enjoy it, that's fine. But if you're subbing to, in the future, become a teacher, it's
difficult.
Oh, you're difficult.
Like, fuck this. If you know you're not wanting to do this.
I was like you. A month into subbing, I was like, this is not for me. And it was terrifying.
Are you just like, how do dudes teach? Did you feel emasculated?
Do you know what it was? And this is going to sound awful. It's just because I wasn't made to be a teacher. There's people made to be teachers, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a specific talent.
Is it kind of you don't have the patience for kids?
No, it wasn't. I wouldn't say that.
Fucking greater.
You know what it was? It was because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And I saw kids that knew what they wanted to do. And they were like,
oh my God.
I got jealous.
Probably had the biggest fucking breakdown, yo. When you heard
I
a
did.
Kid
mm-hmm.
and he knew his nuts were more certain about his life than yours.
Well, it was two girls and they were talking and they were like, I'm going to go to Yale to be a medical student. And I'm going to go to Quinnipiac to be in nursing. And I was like, God, like I like the healthcare field. I really do. Cause I took a bunch of anatomy.
Wait, this was after you tried out occupational therapy?
It was after I tried it. And
you're
I was
like, maybe I should go back because these little girls.
But I was like, dude, I was like, you know what? I don't want to be stuck here teaching these kids biology to go on and do their passion when this isn't mine?
Okay, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I got to find out what I want to do, right?
I'm going to say this real quick.
Go ahead,
It's terrible that we have the fucking choice. Back in the day, there was no choice, so people just were like,
oh, my father is a life carpenter, is,
life
I'm going to be a carpenter.
No, life is life. But now that we have the choice, that's why I kind of laugh at it. Like, do I even have the, like, I have the audacity. I want to do what I would love to do. But it's like, this kid's starving, getting blown up.
Okay, okay. I disagree with the whole, it's pretentious to say, I want to, not that you're saying this, but I'm just saying in general. Yeah. When people say, oh, you can't always do what you love to do. First, that is total bullshit.
I agree. With any effort, you can get there.
Well,
anyone can get to where they
want. That is mainly what I want to talk to you about today is you are doing what you want to do. And it takes, this is what people don't tell you. It takes time. It
takes time, humiliation, risk.
And do you know what that is? I'm going to bring this up. You know, let's stop talking about me for a minute, right?
For once, Dave?
Yeah. let's jump into, you went from the big corporation to the place New Jersey, working for a smaller guy.
So I had like a month in between unemployed. Like I got fired from that job after a year. My vacation lasted 2 days longer than I told them it would. Uh-oh. I come back and then they were waiting for a good reason to fire me. Because I was looking up how to make money online the whole time. So they were like, yeah. I swear to God, the HR woman, Regina, goes, Max, please just do whatever you want to do and you'll be great at it. Swear on my life, yo. She was like, this isn't it, but go, dude. Like,
wow.
Just go.
The HR person said that?
Yeah, yeah. She was like, just vision. Go, dude. Because, no, everyone loved me. They just knew I didn't care about that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they loved me, though. And that sounds like ego. I'm sorry, guys. Like, nah, if people like you, whatever. You can say it. People, they like fucking... I was the most life...
People say in another way, they saw talent in you.
They saw... Yes. And I think there's no betterness in what you do. Like, Jim Carrey is no better than a fulfilled teacher. You know what I mean? Like, just take ego out of it. It's just what you're... If you're fulfilling yourself, and then just keep it simple. You like it or not.
You went from there to this New Jersey house.
Let's get the timeline down. Yeah, yeah. So I was fired. Still in my house in Virginia. My room that I rented. I was there for like a month. I was just reading books. And I was like, oh, wait. My friend at the gym has another friend that does marketing in New Jersey, making a bunch of money by himself. He's 24.
You made that connection yourself.
Well, I was like, let me ask about him. Yeah, see if okay. I could be his fucking little butt buddy, yo. Like,
were you nervous to ask?
No homo. No, not at all, dude. We me and him were friends.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, what's his number? And he was like, oh, bro, let me hook you up. So we talked on the phone. I was like, yo, I'll be your assistant. I'll do whatever, yo. I'll work whatever you need. I'll do whatever. I'm good at these are my skills right now from this job. I'll do whatever I want to learn, but I'll do whatever you need. Like, I'm good. So we talked. I worked from home in Virginia for a little bit for him. Then I eventually moved out and moved to New Jersey close at a family friend's house close to where he works and worked in office with him and saw what it's like to be like full blown. You're 24 years old. You're making.
He was paying you?
Yep.
He was your age.
He's like 25 now. Yeah. He paid me a $10 an hour salary.
You were only making $10 an hour over there?
Yeah.
Were you living at the house too?
No, I was living at a family friend's house for free.
And you thought, hey, this is going to take off.
No, I thought I'm about to learn how a kid can make millions of dollars on the internet.
He making millions?
I would say, I don't know if he was making stone cold millions because you have to buy a lot of traffic, but he was making enough money to every day buy like $50,000 worth of traffic and then get that back and buy like $100,000 worth of traffic and leverage it. Like you have like 10 credit cards. With like $50,000 limits, you buy traffic, boom, make that money back. Buy traffic. By traffic, I mean you get people to click on the link to look at your shit. And his click-through rates were so high.
I see what you're saying. So I'm going to try and break it down for people like that don't know what you're talking about. And let's see if I get it right. You ready? So you're saying he would buy ad space, right? Technically, that's what it's like. People, he would buy the ability for your business to get clicked on a bunch.
Yep.
Right? And then that he would call businesses and say, hey, I have this ad space. Would you like to buy it off me?
No.
Okay, keep going then.
So he made a product, How to Make Money Online. It was different than that, but just for simplicity, let's say it's called How to Make Money Online using Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now, with this product, there's different price levels with different video content that you get for each. And then there's a high ticket back end. So for $2,000 to $5,000 with different options in between, you can get personally coached by Mike on how to do this stuff. So there's $7 to get the basic product, $97 to get the mastermind product, $197 to get the platinum product, and then $2,000 to $5,000 high-end coaching with Mike personally where you get to talk to him face-to-face, whatever.
So what was up with the ad space? Why did he need that traffic now, stuff?
So you have this product. You have those the sales funnel. So when they get in there, there's different options.
Okay.
And then the high-ticket end. What you do is you buy solo ads. Solo ads is where you go to someone with an email list of people that have bought products like yours.
Okay.
You reach out, you say, I want 500 clicks. They guarantee you 500 clicks by sending out emails until you get the 500 clicks. It's all tracked. So he buys the clicks. So he was probably, so when I say he spent 50 G's on traffic, he probably bought the equivalent of those clicks money-wise.
Gotcha.
But what the point of an internet marketer is, he's so good at tweaking things that out of those 500 clicks, he has as high as you need to be click-through rate, people that saw it click through, to make a ton of money off of it. That's where most people would fail because they buy the traffic, no one clicks it, they're just throwing money at a wall, no one buys the product.
See, that's so much risk on his part, right? Because he was putting up a lot of capital. You got
to do a lot of risk to make money.
But that's what we're trying to talk about, I think. I think the main point that I want to talk about today is that it's scary to pursue your passion, but that was that kid's passion, and you had to risk stuff.
It's funny because it's not like his passion is to ball the fuck out. It's not.
What do you mean by that?
Like, internet marketing is like, I think it's a means to an end, but he's good at it.
So you're saying that, like why no was one, he doing it? So he wasn't enjoying it, or he was enjoying it?
Well, he's hustling to get like a huge house, Lambos, have that freedom lifestyle. But internet marketing isn't a passion. It could be. I could say it's a passion. You become very good at teaching
others. I'm
sure
there's people out there that enjoy
it. But it's kind of like a means to an end because they want that other stuff.
Wow, he was just doing it so he could make a profit. He was literally just doing it as a job. He's
hustling, bro.
Did he? Maybe he enjoys the hustle? Why else keep it up for so long?
So this is the difference. This is the difference. I make YouTube videos about feel like emotions, what I've done to help myself, blah, blah, blah. The difference between me and him would be he took that and he monetized it and kind of the heart wasn't in it. When I was leaving him, he said, all right, so you want to get on YouTube. Is it a passion project or money or a money project? Mm-hmm. There's two different things. With the passion, you got to be willing to wait.
Yeah, you would do it for free. Passion,
money
you would do
project,
for free.
I would put on a front and make a hair loss channel. Straight hair loss, that shit would have blown up already.
Yeah, because every time you cut your damn hair and you put it on YouTube, you get like 250
views. So
that's
the difference.
Yeah.
I want to be myself and make an income doing that. I could ramp it up and get rich, but I would be so happy and rich inside if I could be myself, do what I want, and I make money off of it.
Okay, so let's run down the steps just so we can catch up, right? First, you were at a big corporation.
I saw what my life could be like if I grew old living this lifestyle and I shit my pants every single day when I saw what 50-year-olds that went down this path looked like and how they talked and how they addressed their family and just I didn't want to be like them.
Step two, now you're in the New Jersey house.
I was in a New Jersey house working for an internet marketer.
And then why'd you do that again?
Because I wanted to learn how someone our age could make an independent income. How could they can make money on themselves and run? How could someone our age pay someone else off the internet? I understand you had a lawn mowing company and you're paying your people, but off the internet, like, because if you go online and you start looking how to make money online, you're boom. There's so much shit. So it's like, what is the? Because you think, what is the real thing? There's the spider. Fuck that guy. I'm gonna. And we're back.
A spider break. There are two spiders where we were recording.
Vegan Max doesn't like being around spiders. Surprise, surprise.
Okay, so you're at the New Jersey house. We understand why you're there, to learn.
Yes, internet marketing. What is that? What does that mean? How could you make millions off internet marketing? Well, I saw.
Okay.
Create a product that teaches people something, and then you market it as a lifestyle solution. You don't market it as what you're giving them unless it's to someone who already knows what it is. But he was marketing it as lifestyle solution. Do you want freedom? Do you want it? You want the car you always want? Do you want to go on vacation whenever you want? Do you want to make your own living? Well, I did it through this.
All right. So yeah, that's
if then if you want this, then buy this product to do this.
That's what I was trying to get to, which was you're working there and you started making these videos online
later on. I was already working there, but yeah, okay.
You were in the middle of the job, weren't you? You're still working there while you're making these videos.
Yeah, when I started.
And then you came home and we were talking about it and everything. And you were like, this is the most excited I've seen you. I've only seen you that excited when we were back in high school and a little bit in college when we started making little sketches. You know? And that you got your performer out, you know? And it is the real Max. You're not performing.
That's the thing about YouTube. I don't want to ever have to try to be. It's just, dude, like, the thing about my YouTube is I want to connect with dudes because, no homo, but it's like, I heard another YouTube say this, so I'm kind of stealing it. I want to just portray the thoughts that we all think, but you're never going to talk to it to another bro or any. You're not going to tell anyone this stuff, but this is the stuff that I've delving in deep. What? Why? Why do we think this way? What is this about? What is the reason for this? And I just want to talk about it. I'm not saying I have the answers, but there's strength in a community of people that all think about stuff, and then they can talk about it together. Stuff that no one has a community for.
I totally agree. There is this professor I had at Quinnipiac where I was feeling down after the occupational therapy stuff happened. Because when I was at Quinnipiac.
When you quit? No, I'm kidding, guys. That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
After I got fired. I got fired. It's funny. We're all bitches.
Sure.
We're all losers,
so
yo.
After I left occupational therapy.
You gotta fail
there,
a lot to become successful.
That's true. You gotta fail. I met up with this teacher, Kevin Daly, and I wanted to just talk to him about improv. Just talk to him about it because I had an idea. And he said,
"You wanted to get horny again."
Okay, if you want to say it like that, sure, why not?
You wanted your fire back.
Yeah, fire, exactly.
Like, in this podcast, you want to be...
So, like, I'm talking to him, and he has this idea to start an improv class. Like, he got it approved and everything. And it just was like, you ever see things click?
Yeah.
You know? And things just started clicking after that. It was like, I started taking improv, and I really just figured out, oh, I'm around more like-minded people, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a whole new paradigm of life where you're like, I don't have to try to be happy. It's just happy because they're there. Happy. Yeah, I want that so bad.
But I guess what this podcast is trying to do is trying to see if other people have had this feeling, because I think we do. We just don't talk about it, you know, where it's
I literally put the feeling out last night in the video, dude. You have this energy in you. You can call it love. Mm-hmm. You can call it God energy, universal energy. But if you turn your back to it and you don't express that by talking to new people, being positive and just sharing love, or sharing love through a creation you made, through a podcast or a video, you reject that. You're going to need to do something because there's going to be a deep, dark void in you.
Yes.
And you're going to see people doing all kinds of things to fill that void.
I think that void can come in terms of you're angry at your partner that you're with.
It'll come out in different ways.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Do you see it come out in some way when you were working?
I could say it best with my second relationship I had when I was in college. She was like, wow. She was the best girl ever. Best girl, like, ever. Like, so perfect. So awesome to be. So much pure love for me. Like, absolutely, like, love me to death. And I was angry. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And I wouldn't break up with her because I was just too weak and pussy to be by myself, right? But what it was, I didn't have a path in front of me. I didn't have a purpose to live. And if you're a dude and you don't have a purpose, and you have a girl and you put the girl first and you don't have a purpose, you're going to be so nothing.
And we're back.
I might take that clipping and just put that in the podcast.
Yo, just
and we're back. Back to Teletubby Radio.
Okay, so you
So I saw the dangers of not having any reason to live but having a girlfriend, which your girlfriend needs you to have a purpose so then you could be a great dude back, because you're not going to be a good person.
Well, I think we're going to get to that later on, because I went through this. I figured out what I wanted to do this year.
When you didn't have a reason to do it, were you like,
oh, I was mad.
A different person to Jackie too? You're like, stuff comes out of your mouth and you're like, whoa.
And it's because I'm just frustrated with myself. I'm frustrated. I never figured out who I was. And I would constantly, how do you say
it? I feel like you're trying on costumes.
Yes, that's exactly what I would be doing. And then I didn't find the one that fit. And you know what? The real costume is going to sound stupid, but it was me. Like, I didn't need a costume. Just how about just be yourself, you know? And that self, I figured out later on.
And what is it?
I'll come to that, because I want to. It takes me a while to get to that. I'll explain that in a minute. I want to focus on you, which is you did it. You took a risk.
Shit.
I'll explain how you did it. Right? You were at this firm.
In debt.
everyone's in debt.
Poor.
Everyone's in debt. But yes,
I have no source of income.
All right, I want to explain something. You did this at the big corp. You went to the smaller one. During the smaller one, you started making these videos. It started taking off. People started finally watching them and everything like that. So your subscriber base, I saw it go from 5, because I was in the top 5 when you started. You know,
it was my first
one of them
subscriber.
And then you went to 15 to 20. Then you had a big jump when you shaved your head, right?
Well, I was shaving my head, like, every day. Like, shaving my head was my second or third. But yeah. But then,
so
like,
did
the
that.
Beard care.
Yes.
One beard trim video. People.
But
oh,
you started talking about stuff, and people, the more content you put out, because you put a video out almost every day.
I made the promise to myself I would do a video a day.
Okay, and you know what? It's working, because guess what? You're already at how many subscribers today?
216.
And how long have you been doing it?
Since January 1st, or December 31st. So, I mean, what is that, 5 months?
5 months.
But I'm going to say this. It's not me that created this. I believed in someone else. It's a blog called Bold and Determined. This guy, Victor Pride, that might not be his real name. All this goes to him. Now, what happened in my life led me to be able to be the person that has enough stuff to just spew at a camera. Because I wouldn't have been able to do this before. I would have been like, what am I going to talk about every single day? But he gave me something to believe in. He goes, So his article was how I'd make money online without a blog. He has a very successful blog. How would I make money online without a blog if I were to do it again? And he's like, all right, if I were to do YouTube and I want to make money being myself, I'd make a video a day for a year. A video a day for a year. Focus on quantity. He's like, change up the background scenery, but a video a day for a year. Talk about whatever you have any skill in, whatever you have any experience in. Your life, whatever, be you, every day a year. You get that video out. Second year, 2 videos a week, up the quality.
Oh, wow, he has a formula for this.
This is what he said.
Okay.
He's like, up the quality, 2 videos a week for a year. Third year, same thing, but write a book, make a product. Your fan base wants to give you money at this point.
I can see it. I can
see
it. They
want to give you money.
They are literally subscribing to your content.
They want to buy your book. Mm-hmm. He goes, give it to them. They want to buy your book.
And you've had more reactions than people subscribing and liking. You've actually had people emailing you and asking questions and saying that they've had interactions. Tell me about that.
Well, then,
what is that like? What does that feel like? To put yourself out
there. It makes
me
know that I'm doing something right. Because there's dudes that... There's guys, so there was one that was like, this was the first one that I ever got, probably like in like March. This guy commented, he goes, I've seen YouTubers come and go since 2005. You're about to be one of the best.
He validated.
Like, he goes, got it, man. You're going to be one of the best. Just keep going. And I was like, whoa. But then it's like, guys are like, yeah, man, I just related to everything you just said. Please keep making more videos. Keep going.
I do want to talk about this for
a
second.
And it's like, guys want me to just get better, too. Because they know I'm not good at talking yet.
Yeah.
So they're like, please just get better and keep going. Because people want to see you come up. That's where dudes, like, jerk off to. They love the come up. So they want to... They want to be lazy and not come up themselves. So they'd watch, like, I've watched people come up. That's why eventually I was like, it's my turn. Why can't I? I'm the same. We're just dudes. We can all just have a following.
We'll see. All right. It's a helicopter break.
FBI, bro.
Okay, so you were getting validation, literal validation, real quick, almost immediate from these subscribers you have.
Just I would say, I would say 3 months in. There was 3 months of me being like, oh.
Yes, yes. I mean by immediate.
Every day posting.
I mean, like, when you hand in a report to your boss at work, it takes like a couple weeks, or you have a quarterly review. And at the quarterly review, you get validated by saying, hey, this report was good. We're going to give you a promotion. Yeah. Okay, this is the job I'm supposed to be at. Yeah. But you, like, you'll put a video out. It touches some person, some part of them. And they will email you, right, and message you and say,
I don't get a lot of email. I've gotten like two emails. I'll get comments.
All right, but I'm just saying, like, people will contact you and say, hey, that's great. And you don't have to wait for that quarterly report. You get the validation saying, okay, you're doing a good job. You know? All right. This brings me to my point.
Like, if I didn't get any comments yet, I would have been like, this is stupid. But
yes.
I knew I would get comments.
All right. So I get my point is that there's good validation, and then there's bad validation. And both are fantastic, but the bad validation kind of gets you in a mindset like, oh, I'm going to stick with this, and this is all I should do. Like, when I was doing improv at Quinnipiac,
bad validation?
Yeah, in terms of maybe you tell me what you think of it, but so I was performing like twice a month with a group of guys. I assembled, Quinnipiac asked me to put a team together of improv, like an improv troupe. And it was supposed to be a fundraiser for their Fourth Wall, which is a student-run theater. Yeah. So we put a show on every 2 weeks, every other week, and we would sell out. We sold out, like, shows. Like, every other week, it was sold out to capacity, 75 kids coming. And it's just improv. It's just made-up pretend stuff, just playing pretend with our friends. And, yeah, we put work in. We were practicing and stuff. And I really thought, finally, I'm doing what I wanted to do. Like, my whole life, I was doing bits all in high school, and I thought I wanted to be on SNL. I wanted to be, like, a comedy writer. I wanted to be in comedy, right?
Yeah.
I thought that's what I wanted. And then I was getting this validation from the shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. For the rest of my life. For the rest of my life, this is what I want to do. And then it all stopped, right? A couple guys graduated. And we lost the improv troupe. We tried to bring it back together. My fiance joined the troupe. We pieced it back with a few new people. And that was great. But we lost our main flow and our audience went down. And I had such a high on the validation. And
why didn't you go seeking that by making your own shit?
But I get, by making my own shit, I just didn't have time to make sketches offline and stuff like that.
You have
to
make your own time. The improv
stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if this was my passion, I would stick through, like, when we lost all our audience and everything. I would stick through it.
Do you think, though? I don't think so.
Oh, I would. If this was my passion, it doesn't matter. You know? Because there's
people. You're going to die, dude, and you're going to still think that and not have a passion. Dead ass.
No. Well,
you have to stick to
I have a passion
something.
Now. I have a passion now. I figured out what my passion was.
What is it?
Do you want to get to that now?
Just say a sentence, bro.
All right, well, I'm just trying to stick
with it. One
sentence,
what is it? What are you talking about?
Okay, it belongs in a story, but right now I'm trying to get into nursing, right? And that, once I found that out, you know, it took a long time to figure that out.
How do you, what? I thought you like.
I want to go into nursing in that field and eventually get my doctorate and become a family practitioner and open up a pediatric clinic.
Okay.
And that's what I want to do, you know? And when that hit me, it was like nothing else.
Are you sure, though, dude?
Okay.
You're a creator. You like the movies.
See, here's the story part of it is I tried out every single job out there pretty much. You know, carpenter, landscaper,
yeah, you hate
you know,
it.
Everything.
You want
to create? No. But I like that stuff, all right? Yeah. I did. I liked the comedy. I liked being my own boss. I liked people interacting with them. I liked helping them. And I really liked healthcare. I really liked being able to look at somebody with a problem and saying, I can help you. I can solve that problem. And so I would bounce around from healthcare positions. Like I went to occupational therapy. And then I went to biology because that's like teaching. That's a form of like, you know, helping people. Then I went to Southern. Okay. And I went there for athletic training. And the program didn't get developed. Because it was supposed to be a master's in athletic training. But while I was there, I was trying to convince myself to keep going. I was like, I all right, athletic training, they don't make too much. And it was about money, too, at the time, which was never good.
Are you about to pay for nursing school now?
I'll explain that. So,
Jesus.
So I was at Southern for athletic training.
Yeah.
Didn't get developed. I took a whole year of classes, right? It was like one class the fall semester, two classes in the spring, and then I get the notice, Dave, look, because there's only going to be seven people in the cohort, because I was going to be the new master program cohort. Then they say, we didn't get the vote passed in time.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, it's going to be an extra 4 years. And I said, I don't have that time. I'm not going to waste my time doing that.
Yeah.
And I talked to my friend who did an accelerated nursing course. No lie, right? Freshman year, standing on the train tracks, it all hit me at once. I was at UConn, Stanford, and I was standing on the train tracks. I look up at a billboard right before my train's about to come, and it says, do you have what it takes to become a nurse? And I was like, oh my God, I like nursing, man. I do. It sounds silly. It sounds like a movie. It sounds ridiculous. But thinking back to it, it's like, all right, let's see what a nursing has, and does it fit my sensibility? You know, it helps people out. You take care of most of the work. If I can become a family practitioner, I run my own business. I can make kids laugh all day just being in there. Haven't you had a pediatric doctor who just comes in there, makes a kid laugh, gives him his physical and everything, and takes care of somebody? I just want to make my patients all the way well-rounded health-wise, like happy and healthy, you know? And I can do that because of all the training I've had with improv and everything and in the healthcare stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So my whole life has been about money, right? I went to Quinnipiac because you go to Quinnipiac and you have a lot of connections to get a big job out there. That's like kind of what they sold you on. And
it's every college.
It's every college, right? Every college does that. So
college is a screw.
So now I'm like $120,000 in debt.
Now you gotta go to nursing school.
And I'm taking all these prereq courses.
Do you know about nursing hours?
Yeah. 12-hour shifts, 3 days a week, and then you get 4 days off. But you can work overtime. But let me tell you this. It all hit me at one point that I wanted to stop doing everything else. I did not want to do improv comedy anymore. I did not want to produce any more content.
Sure.
Oh, 100%. It wasn't even about the money. Like, I would do nursing for free. It was bizarre when
it
happened.
Have you ever subbed in or some shit and you like?
I have never
This is what blows my mind. How could that thought exist in your brain? I would do nursing for free. You never did it.
Just the idea of what it is.
Of sick people.
Yes. Yes.
You want to be around sick people for free.
Oh, yeah. I want to be able to heal people and help people out in that way. And the only way I know how to do it is become a nurse. Like, I would even become what's called a licensed practicing nurse, which then you have to get your RN, then your BSN, and then your master's. That's 10 years of school, right? All split up in your clinical times. But I would do that because that's how motivated I am. I've never been like this before. Like, athletic training, I had to convince myself. This is what I'm trying to get out. Like, some people may be out there trying to convince themselves, oh, I want to be an occupational therapist, right? Then you hit a roadblock, and it's really tough to push through that.
I don't see the difference between, like, all right, cool. Like,
go ahead.
To you, how is, like, all right, you're like, it's my passion. How is being an occupational therapist that big of a difference than a nurse for you to have a breakthrough about being a nurse?
Okay, so
would you be okay being an occupational therapist?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even want to be a doctor. You know, I don't want to be a practicing medical doctor. I would like to be a family practitioner, a nurse practitioner. You know, but I have no interest in going to that amount of medical school to learn their philosophies. Like, I align with the nursing philosophy of, like, wholly taking care of a patient instead of a doctor, for the most part, saying, how do they say it? It's like they get in and out. Doctors have to meet a certain quota. Like, nurses stay with the patient for their whole entire time.
Yeah.
That's what I align with. I'm there to be that person's. All I want to do in my life is help people. And what more can I do than be a nurse? And that's when it hit me.
Shit.
It was some real stuff. Like, that's why I'm out here doing this. I'm out here talking to you, talking to people who found their passion, because it was such like a kick of ecstasy to just be standing there. Like, I was freaking crying on the side of the sidewalk out of Southern, outside the dean's office, trying to get a refund for the year. And I was like, man, what am I going to do with my life? And then I talked to my friend, and boom, it just hit me. And I've just been on a roll. Like, I've passed, it's been like, Jesus, only like 2.5 months, and I've had meetings with like 9 different universities, talking to them about their nursing programs and trying to like take all the prereqs I need and trying to get caught up on stuff. If I didn't have that passion, I wouldn't be putting myself out there this much, you know? And also, things fall to the wayside. Like, I'm not trying to get out there and perform improv like I was every single other day when I was at AT, because I was trying to fill a void and trying to find out who I am as a person, you know? When I see you on these YouTube videos, Max, I see, like, the real Max, you know? I see you, and you're a happy dude, because it looks like you're fulfilling a big part of yourself.
Yeah.
You're not looking for a job right now, are you?
Well, I need a job, but...
You need a job to make money.
Yeah. I'm looking to be self-sufficient. But I also want to help people. But yeah. It's like, I want to help people through what how I fixed myself. It's like, if I were to write a book or hold a course for young Max, who is like, what the fuck is going on with the world? I would do that. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm laying it all down in these videos. And then... I know that everyone can relate. Every dude coming up that's not the coolest kid ever will relate to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I wish we could... There's so much stuff out there. I was thinking about this today. Is that growing up, I was always told, like, hey, you're a kid, you don't know a lot, you know? And at the time, it's true, because when you're a kid, you don't have access to a bunch of knowledge that... adults at the time had to gain over time. But now, all that knowledge is accessible.
Yep.
You know, everything is out there for anybody to grab.
Yep.
And so for you to say, oh, you're a kid, you don't know anything, you can't say that anymore.
And
kids are smart.
Time changes. So we were just having this conversation with my mom. We were like, me and Sam was saying this to my mom. He's like, look, you gave us everything, but for now, it's all on us. You don't know what this world is about now anymore. You know how to be a kind person, but you don't know what this is. Like,
how so? What do you mean by that?
He's like, this is not about getting married and having kids anymore. He's like, we got to make it on our own. This is me and Sam talk. Like,
go ahead. What do you mean by make it on your own?
He's like, I'm following bodybuilding. I'm getting my shit. I'm getting my own. Like, this is not, I'm marrying young and having kids young and then just getting a job and living in that house forever. Like, no, it's about me. I'm getting mine. I'm going to be a bodybuilder. This is what's going to happen.
I'm not joining the
ranks of marriage, 51% divorce rate, to get half my shit taken. Like, that kind of stuff. Because that's the world we live in, yo.
I think...
Families are not sticking... It's like, you have to understand, like, I'm about the facts. When you're entering marriage, you're entering a system where there's a 50% chance you're going to lose half your stuff if you don't do a prenup. That's what it is.
Would you, if you got married, would you consider getting a prenup?
I would get a prenup.
You also are a child of the divorce, though.
Yes.
So you may be a little bit biased on this topic.
That opened my eyes up to look and then understand that why my parents.
That's also true. That bias comes from facts. That's my real life.
My bias made me curious.
Yep.
And then I looked at the facts, and now I just look at the facts, and I'm a man, so I think logistically, I think about the facts. I'm not looking at it through emotion right now, and I look and I say, I've heard reviews about marriage, and right now, if I look at this, is how I look at it. I look at 50-year-olds. I don't see anyone who I would trade my life with in my immediate life. marriage life, whatever. They're all dead inside. Every married man I know personally is dead inside. Around these parts.
That's what you think?
That's what I've seen. Besides your parents, I don't know them.
Yeah, I would say my parents, they get along, but there's also... My mother will call... My father will call my mother his best friend, right? Like, best friend.
Yeah.
My mother, on the other hand, will not call my father her best friend. But over time, they seem to get... They not hanging out with other friends, just hanging out with themselves more.
Yeah.
You know, as the kids move out of the house,
yeah,
spending more time. But I was just listening to this the other day. I'll insert who it was. But there's three things that you got to try and find in a person. And 60% of people do not find, or 60% of people, yeah, do not find this. You ready for this? Sexual partner that aligns with your sexual wants and needs.
Yep. That's first. That's the first thing, too.
Really. 100%. That's a big connection.
Yeah.
Best friend.
Okay.
Right? Tough to find that in a partner. And the third is your beliefs in the world.
Yep.
Right? So
I would say your partner of marriage needs to have all three, or you're going down the drain.
But here's what he said, and I thought this was interesting. I want to hear your opinion on this. He's an economic professor, and I love anything. If you want to research something, go find an economic, go to Google Scholar, right? Go type in Google Scholar, look up economic articles on things, and they break things down by fact through study.
Yeah.
And it's undeniable, right? And they said, it's so difficult to find somebody like that. You need to open up yourself to be forgiving of a person.
Yeah.
You know, you might go on a couple dates, right? And be like, wow, this person's really cool. All right, check, best friend. You have a good sexual encounter, but it's not exactly what you want, right? All right, I'm gonna be forgiven of that. I'm gonna stick with this person out, and then you find out, okay, they can grow with me, you know, and I can show them what I like. They can show me what they like, and then your beliefs. If you can be open enough to grow with that person,
yeah,
your beliefs will start to align. But then you'll also find, I really like this healthy debate we have about our beliefs, and if they're not too opposing, right, then you can stay together. But if they're too far apart, and no one's forgiving each other on their beliefs, right, it's hard to stick with that person, don't you think?
Yeah. What I heard recently that summed it up was like this: is this guy I follow? He goes, "So the first 3 months you're gonna fuck like rabbits. That's just your genes getting to know each other, whatever."
Sure.
Then after the first 2 years, your bodies are going to pretend like you had two kids. Because the two kids are going to happen within the first 2 to 3 years of knowing each other, statistically in relationships. After those 2 years, attraction to each other is going to fade. And that's just nature. From there, you have two choices. You could stick it out, or by then you're growing. You have to make your relationship last, he said, you have to have a spiritual meaning behind it. Or a higher meaning than both of you. For the relationship, you're building something. Now, most people will choose to build just a family and children. That's okay, but that's not enough most of the time to keep. That's not enough to glue it together. Now he says, like, a man can be building a business, and then the woman has her own unique role where she can help that man build a business. So they are together in that. He said he could tell if people are going to stick together by looking at their work, what they do for a living. If they're both completely different, it's not going to work. Because
I totally agree.
He's saying, that's 8 hours a day. You're both doing completely different things that don't complement each other in your work life. And then you're going to try to make it up at the 2 hours every night. And that's going to be a big stress in a relationship. And if you're not talking about that, then you have no communication,
whatever. I think that's genius. I'm going to relate it to my real life, which is, I've been with my fiance 8.5 years now.
Yeah.
We met in high school, and we've been together. So I think we're a good example of letting each other grow and forgiving each other. She's an occupational therapist, and she just graduated now, so she's really practicing and everything. And that's another reason why I want to stay in healthcare, and I'm so glad that I found my passion in nursing, just because I can relate to her. Like, when she comes home and she's like, well, she can't talk about her patients because of HIPAA, right, like the Protection Act. But what she can talk is about experience she's had.
Yeah.
And I can share those experiences with her, you know, of what I'm learning in school.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's great. Like, I can really see that. But, okay, over time, there's been instances where I grow faster than she grows, she grows faster than I grow, and then she's more ahead of us, you know?
Does that piss you off?
In the time, because what happens is that your partner becomes a hypocrite, you know?
Why?
Because let's say I'm growing faster than she does. And
growing as in, like, she's going to be set, right, before you. She's going to be an occupational therapist.
She
is,
yeah.
You're going to be in school.
I'm still in school. Does that upset me? No. But on beliefs more so. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
What do you mean growing? Besides what I just said. Like, growing
beliefs,
as in,
beliefs.
Like, she got the job. What,
like,
what beliefs?
Growing as an understanding, like, how the world works to you, you know? And.
Son.
So the growing example is, like, let's just say I do something this year, you know, and she gets mad about me because she had a preconceived notion about what I just did. And then the next year, she does the same thing. And then if I didn't let her do that and forgive her for getting mad at me for the first time,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
then we wouldn't be together anymore. But that happens so much that you got to let that person.
Well, you guys are going through a very weird point in your lives where a lot of men do that alone. You go through these pieces. Like, you're going through your early 20s. A lot
you're
of
growing.
Men,
you're
going
out
through
life.
Your early 20s with a female, with
mm-hmm.
a mate that you're going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of, like, I'm wilding the fuck out on videos and shit. Like, if I had a girlfriend, I wouldn't even. You know what I mean?
What you can do, let's see if you think this is true, but I am still trying to figure out, well, then recently, past 2 months, I know who I am, and she has said there's a visible difference in my personality. Like, I'm much more calm, I'm more relaxed.
I don't understand what you finding yourself and knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
There is, the thing when you start meditating, whatever, there
yeah.
is no you.
If you want to explain that?
We're all one.
Okay.
The same energy in you is in me. We're just, it's spiritual. Like, we're all one. When you get out of your own head, you realize it's just, this is all your perception of life, and it's just ego, and that doesn't matter.
I agree with this, with what you just said, is that we are just humans,
but,
and we all are making believe right now. Like, we're living in these big boxes. We don't need to have all this stuff.
No, it's just like we're seeing the world through our own eyes. You can create your own universe through your eyes because it's just you're nothing, and then you're given this vessel, and you're giving this creative brain that you can use to morph what you see. Your beliefs can morph what you see.
Sure. So your question is why? What are you talking about? You found you.
Yeah, like you keep you're there.
Yeah, I let myself out though. I knew now I can be me. That before I was like, I worked for a lobbying firm. Oh, do I want to be a lobbyist?
Well,
it's
you,
me. Do my beliefs
there,
belong with the lobbyists? Yes, that's part of me. You know, I was building.
But how are you a nurse? You're going to be you doing nursing.
Okay, that's a good point.
I'm going to be me doing YouTube.
Let's just
videos.
Say I wasn't fully me. Okay, I was piecing together Dave for my whole life, jumping from profession to profession. I'm taking all those skills I learned. And just adapting them into one profession, which is nursing. And that encompasses everything in one. And that's when I'm saying, oh, I found the one person I'm supposed to be. You know?
Yeah.
You may disagree or agree, but...
No, I feel what you're saying.
Yeah?
You're so stone cold about, like, finding the perfect profession. And it's cool. What I kind of thought was, I just don't think... there's no profession for me. I got to build my own stuff. And I'm gonna.
Well, wouldn't you call yourself a YouTube creator?
YouTube's gonna be just a tool. And then I'm gonna have a fan base, a follower base, my family, my friends, whatever you want to call them.
I like family. I've never heard that. I really like that.
And then I don't know. Maybe I'm gonna hold classes or be a coach or write books. I'm gonna do all that shit.
Now, have you ever listened to Tony Robbins?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
So, he says he's not a motivational speaker, right? And
what does he say he is then?
He says he's just a guy helping people out.
Exactly. So,
You know?
And this is how I see it.
So that you remind me a lot about him and some of your ideas, except you're more, you use more verbiage.
Yeah.
That is more of our generation's bros.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
yeah. You are a very intelligent person and can talk like a normal person.
But I get weird, yeah.
But you feel comfortable, maybe, I'm just assuming, that you feel comfortable in that verbiage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That vernacular.
Exactly. So, you know what? Like, that's fine. So you're saying the same things as he is. You're saying that...
The beauty of this all is...
Yeah.
Every book on the shelf of self-help is all Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That was, like, the first real book, success book about self-help.
Mm-hmm.
Every other person, expert, self-help coach, it's all taking those principles and adding their little tweak to them. But it's all the same stuff.
What I found out in the self-help thing was, oh, self-help, you break it down like, oh, I could have just done this by myself if I just realized these things earlier.
What's funny about self-help is like, I kind of question it because like, what am I doing? I'm just talking about stuff. I'm trying to make a brand talking about the stuff that I thought helped me, but it's just me talking about the stuff again.
But let me say this.
It's not doing anything.
This is why I got excited, because I just listened to an interview with Tim Ferriss, right? Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
right?
Before I work with.
Yeah, and he interviewed Tony like back in 2009. I just listened to it, right? And he goes, "Oh, I don't want to lose it." And you were just saying what? You were just saying,
"Yo, you get the self help to just spew the self help out."
Yes, yes.
And then that's your
People need to hear their beliefs by somebody else. You cannot say, I am going to be a nurse into a mirror. Someone else has to say, you should be a nurse. You have good talent at it.
You wait for that.
But
like millionaires are like, I'm a millionaire today.
But on the way, somebody has said, you have a lot of good effort in this stuff. You have a really big skill in this. You know? Just like you said in the beginning of the podcast, you're like, if I didn't get validation on this, I would have stopped.
Well, after a reasonable amount of time, if people said... No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I had real ass dudes, and I knew they were just real ass dudes, and they were like, well, the thing is, I'm self-aware enough, and I watch enough YouTube to know if I sucked or not. I know my shit's decent enough for where people will watch it. Mm-hmm. You gotta just be self-aware. I can watch my shit and be like, that was chill.
I agree with you to a point.
I would know if my shit sucks.
But I think every job should have an audience, right? Just because there's nothing like that instant gratification of, is this good or is this bad? And with what I'm doing, should I continue or should I not? And because
everything is in like, life is subjective. Did they die or not?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Fucking go. You're alive.
More high stakes audience in life.
And mine would be like, did you quit drinking? Oh, sick. That's all I need.
Wait, say that again?
Did you quit drinking? Did I help you quit drinking?
Is that what you did? You quit drinking?
Well, I pretty much don't drink anymore, but, like, if I help someone be, like, drinking, and then they're like, Max, wow, man, it makes so much sense now. Like, I don't have to drink anymore. And just...
I think that's what it is. It's making sense. So, like, when I was listening to Tony
Robbins, validation is, like, you don't have to be mad that you want attention and validation. That's just
of course,
nature.
Yeah.
That's a system that it shows you're either doing it or not. But the thing is, you got to work until... you're ready to earn it. And anyone can work their ass off until they're to a point where they're worthy of it. People just give up too early to where they're at a skill level where people will give you it.
Okay.
And people are not going to give it to you until they know you're ready to take it and not be a little bitch about it.
This is the last part I wanted to talk about. And you just kind of talk.
Someone said that. Validate yourself.
Validate yourself. Exactly.
I validate myself. My videos, I'm like, bam, word. And people know that I must have been like, he really just fucking liked that shit.
All right, the biggest thing I wanted to say out of this, because this podcast, if it has a title, it's literally
suck
follow
your
dick. Okay, it's one, maybe not that, but it's follow your passion. It's going to be tough.
I don't even know. It's not follow your passion. It's like, my whole thing I would say is like, learn how what stills your mind.
I like that.
Put your mind at rest, and then do you hear anything inside of you telling you to do something? Have you ever done anything, and then you hear a voice in your head, more of that, bro?
I guess what I'm trying to do is get this out to kids so that they can stop with the nonsense of, but you said it too, that you kids have to fail to find out what they want to do, right? But it's I guess what I'm trying to say is, I wish they could skip a step.
This is what I would say. I've heard this recently. Find some dude that you see what he does and his lifestyle, and you're like, that is, think about his lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What does that person who lives that lifestyle do?
Yep.
Either
everyone does
emulate
it. That's great.
Or
that's great.
Work, be his assistant, work for him. And then, once you get those tools, then you'll be able to see life from another step that you didn't get to see it from before.
Okay, and this is what I wanted to end on, which
first,
is...
everyone copies, and then every rapper copied someone else to get to one level, and then they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to copy first.
What I want to end on is, all right, so you listen to this, and you said...
How is my dick that big?
You listen to this, and then you heard that... Okay. I
heard someone say this is how you can create an audience and make a living online being yourself. And I said, whoa, this is a freaking blueprint.
Well, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is to the audience member listening to this, now you have permission to go do what you want to do. You have just been validated by listening to this, but it's going to be hard. Like Max is seeing that.
I would say
it's
this,
taking
like,
months.
Do whatever you're doing, and then 1 hour a day, whatever you like to do, just do it.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about.
But do it if you're sad, do it. If you're happy, do it. Like just...
On Max's point, let me say this,
wait,
Max.
Don't
Max,
leave the future to do what you want to do. Yes. Do it today.
Let me
like,
say
I
this.
Like, I DJ in my room to a wall.
Yes.
Every
right.
day.
Hold on. I wanted to say that exactly what you're saying, it's tough, but there's a thing called deliberate practice, right? And... Yeah. Have you read the book Malcolm Gladwell, like the 10,000 hours to get to where you want to be, right?
No, but I think I heard of him.
Okay,
but
so there's a thing that comedians say like, oh, you got to work your 10,000 hours.
To be a popping comedian.
Yes, and it's not exactly 10,000 hours.
No, but
I... And it's based on a study done by this economist who found out that you don't have to have talent to be successful at something. All you have to do... is deliberately practice that talent over and over again till you get to a proficient level.
I agree.
Keep practicing. So on that point, let me say this. There is a woman who was doing the study with the economist, and she wanted to be a singer. She sounded awful. I'll put a clip in of what she says. She even says she sounded awful. She took practice singing lessons, and it was tough, and she did not sound good. So 3 months in, sounded still really bad, making minor improvements, but not enough to keep going to a normal person. But she had the drive to keep going. And eventually, at the end of the study, she released a CD.
Yeah.
And she sounded amazing,
right?
So when I mean deliberate practice, I mean this practice has to be something that's tough, okay?
Yeah.
Like your brother Sam, really good at lifting weights, right?
Yeah. Well,
the theory of weightlifting is... I'm going to lift 100 pounds this week for the next 3 weeks, okay, until this is a light enough weight. And if I want to get bigger, I got to up it to 125. And I'm going to lift that for another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's deliberate practice.
Yeah.
But if you were just practicing,
yeah.
I'm going to lift 100 pounds for the rest of my life and then see what happens. You're not going to get proficient at it.
Well, you're not going to progress. Yeah.
But that's if you take that idea and apply it to anything. Like your YouTube videos. A video a day is going to get you better at making the videos than a video every other week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to tell these people is, let's say your passion is carpentry, okay? Do something every week. Do something every day. Watch a couple YouTube videos on it. Practice. Try a skill out and see if you need to work on it. And don't give up.
Yeah.
Because eventually, you're going to become... the best damn carpenter out there because you're going to keep pushing yourself. And the only way you're going to push yourself is if you're passionate about it. Just watch Max. What's your tag on YouTube?
Max DeSilva.
Watch Max DeSilva on YouTube. Just talk about just following your dreams.
It's not even about that.
Come on. You're on there talking about life. You're on there talking about meditating.
Your hair is thinning, then go to the thing.
You're talking about things that Max is following his dream, right? Or one of them.
Lifestyle. Just like
just talking about life. Yeah. But he's doing... The whole point of this first episode is to tell people don't be scared about following your dream.
I would say this. This is what I would put it as. Don't be scared of what other people think. And still your mind and see what it says.
You want to give them a tip on how to still their mind?
So all meditation is looking at a wall 20 minutes a day. Look at the wall. Don't try not to think. Just be there. You're going to think if you try not to think. Just, it'll come to you. Just sit there for 20 minutes and focus on your breathing, whatever that means to you. You can go to a meditation coach and it'll get you to a present state faster, but in the end, you got to just be able to do it by yourself. So meditation is simplifying your life, not making it complicated.
In this first episode, just to recap everything, you saw a transition of both Max and me trying to figure out what they wanted to do, but you saw Max take that drastic step out in the real world while I was taking my steps in academia, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, incurring a lot of debt. Max was spending his time, his lifetime, trying to figure out what he wanted to do, and he failed a couple times, figured out what he was good at. People saw talent in him.
The thing is, it never stops. There's no final destination. You're always going to have to tussle and dance with the present moment. It's always going to be hard. You just have to, with the way the Superior Man book says, you have to make love to the present moment, whether you hate it or not. So there is no, Dave might be a nurse and say it sucks. That could very well happen. So there's never an ends to the means. It's always just in the present moment, you're working on something. It feels good to create something. But just don't put hope to the future. Put hope in now and do it now.
All right, that has been Backyard Conversations with Max DeSilva.